Aliyar did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across London as you listen. This is their story. In the NHS, where training places sit empty while wards run short-staffed, qualified applicants face artificial caps on funded positions that bear no relation to patient need. Holborn and St Pancras, like constituencies across the country, watches its residents blocked from healthcare careers by spending limits imposed on a system that issues its own currency.
I decided I wanted to be a nurse when I was 16, watching my nan in her final weeks at University College Hospital. The nurses there were extraordinary. They had this way of making her feel dignified even when everything was falling apart. My mum had worked as a healthcare assistant at the same hospital for years, coming home exhausted but always talking about the difference the work made. I have a small tattoo of a stethoscope behind my left ear that she still pretends to disapprove of, though I caught her showing it off to her friend once. I grew up in King's Cross before the area transformed completely. Our street used to be mostly social housing and corner shops. Now it's glass towers and coffee that costs more than my mum's hourly wage. But the hospital was constant. People still got sick. People still needed care. And I wanted to be part of providing it. I finished my A-levels at Camden School for Girls in 2018 and applied to study nursing at King's College London. The course was exactly what I'd been working toward. When the acceptance letter came, I thought everything was falling into place. Then came the second letter. I'd been accepted onto the programme, but I was number 287 on the waiting list for a funded place. There were 400 qualified applicants. There were 150 funded places. The rest of us could pay fees of £9,000 a year or wait. I called the admissions office to ask what this meant. The woman on the phone was kind but matter of fact. "Health Education England sets our numbers," she said. "There is no funding for additional places." She explained it like a law of physics. The budget had been capped by HM Treasury at 2015 levels. Vacancy rates were rising across London hospitals, but the training allocation stayed frozen. I took a job as a healthcare assistant at University College Hospital while I waited. The ward I worked on was constantly short-staffed. Agency nurses filled gaps at double the cost. I watched qualified, permanent staff burn out from the workload. Every day I saw the problem that more trained nurses would solve. Every day I was told there was no money to train them. I reapplied in 2019. Same outcome. The woman in admissions remembered my name. "We'd love to take you," she said, "but we cannot afford to run more places." I reapplied in 2020. This time the funded places had been reduced to 120. "Pandemic budget constraints," the letter explained. The irony was stunning. The NHS had never needed more nurses, but was training fewer than ever. I tried a different route. NHS England had started promoting trainee nursing associate roles as a pathway into the profession. Lower entry requirements, shorter training, but still qualified to provide registered care. I submitted my application in October 2020. 6 weeks later, I received an email saying recruitment had been frozen. "Due to current financial pressures," it read, "we cannot afford to run that programme." Walking past King's College London's nursing school in early 2021, I stopped to look through the windows. 40 training stations sat empty. Simulation equipment was still wrapped in plastic. The mannequins they used to practice on were covered in dust sheets. I knocked on a door and found a lecturer preparing materials for her reduced cohort. "Could these facilities train more students?" I asked. "Easily," she said. "We have capacity for 300. We're funded for 120. All this equipment, all this space designed for the numbers they originally promised us. What happens to the rest? It sits here, waiting." That was the moment the excuse stopped making sense. The building existed. The equipment existed. The lecturers existed. The students existed. We were standing in a room designed to train the nurses that London hospitals desperately needed, and someone in Whitehall had decided there was no money to turn the lights on. I started noticing the pattern everywhere. My neighbour Davy Kah had trained as a nurse in North London and told me identical stories. Training centres sitting half empty, qualified applicants on waiting lists, hospitals relying on expensive agency staff while permanent roles went unfilled. The same excuse repeated like a broken record: there is no funding. But what exactly was it that there was no money for? The people existed. I existed. Davy Kah existed. Hundreds of others in the same situation existed. The buildings existed. The training equipment existed. The hospitals that needed us existed. The patients who needed care existed. The government that issues the pound sterling had chosen not to spend pounds connecting these existing people to this existing infrastructure to meet this existing need. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still a healthcare assistant. I still reapply for nursing training every year. I still walk past those empty simulation rooms at King's. But I understand now that what happened to me is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. Someone had just decided to keep it locked.
What Alia experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique works by citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident, as though repeating it makes it true. Think of how tobacco companies once wheeled out doctors to endorse cigarettes, or how pharmaceutical firms fund studies that happen to support their products. The credentials look legitimate, but the analysis serves an agenda. In Ali R's case, every time she questioned why training places stayed empty while hospitals ran short-staffed, she was told economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The fake expertise obscures a simple reality. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. When Health Education England said there was no funding for nursing places, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. The constraint was never financial. Alia could see the proof with her own eyes. Empty training facilities, wrapped equipment, qualified applicants on waiting lists. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Holborn and St Pancras ranks 116 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation, placing it in decile 3, according to the English Indices of Deprivation 2025 from MHCLG. The constituency has 1,110 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £73 million according to 360 Giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.